Welcome to episode 203 of Telepractice Today with Kim Dutro Allen and Dr. Todd Houston.
Hey, welcome back to another episode. I have a couple of kind of podcast news things to share. I heard recently that Google Podcasts is going away. So if you are listening to us on Google Podcasts, you are going to have to find a new way to listen to us. But it's okay. We're on all the other things as well. Mm-hmm. And my other thing was my phone just updated last night, which sometimes can send me into a panic because things are going to move and change and I won't be able to find them. But when I opened my podcast this morning, I realized that they've included something that is great for accessibility. They have transcripts on the podcasts now. So, and it's kind of automatically generated, comes up right in, if you're on an iPhone, comes up right in the app and you can look through it. And really, like, even just for our podcast too, I'm thinking about, you know, if you're trying to search for something specific, a tip that we gave or something like that, and you don't have time to listen to the entire episode, you can scan through there. And it really opens up accessibility for people with hearing loss, which ties into our guest today as well.
Yes, we have Jen Latshaw, who is a teacher of the deaf by training. And she's going to talk about her experiences being a teacher of the deaf and doing telepractice, and something she's very passionate about, trying to get more teachers of the deaf to actually embrace telepractice. So I'm thrilled that she's able to join us.
Hi, are you creative? Do you want to give a webinar or teach a course? Maybe you're a writer. Do you want to create a blog? Maybe you have an idea for a podcast. Whatever your passion is, we at 3C Digital Media Network want you to be a content creator so we can bring your ideas to life. So, to get started, visit our website at 3cdigitalmedianetwork.com and sign up to be a content creator. We look forward to seeing your passions come to life on our platform.
Well, Jen, welcome to the podcast. You and I share a real passion working with children with hearing loss. And so why don't you explain how you became a teacher of the deaf and working in this area?
I became a teacher of the deaf because in high school, I had a friend who was deaf. And I was always just amazed at how he never let things hold him back, or he never allowed his deafness to hold him back. He had a ton of friends. He was in the marching band, he knew how to play soccer. He did anything he wanted to do. And I always thought that was really incredible. And I wanted to be someone who encouraged that, because he clearly had people in his life that did that for him. So that was something that I decided to pursue.
And where did you do your undergrad?
I did my undergrad at the College of New Jersey. And I also did my graduate studies at the College of New Jersey as well. They have a deaf ed program, and it was like a 5-year compact program. So everything squished in one.
That's pretty cool. And so after you finished your degrees, what led you and where did you go after that, basically?
Okay. That's a really good question, because it's been everywhere. I started out my very first job right out of college. I worked in a public school setting and I had a couple of students, and they would come to my class, and then I would also kind of help them in their classroom. And I decided to move to PA so that I could pursue a job at a school for the deaf. And when I worked at the school for the deaf, I worked in a couple different classrooms. So I worked in the applied studies classroom, which would be students who are what we would call deaf plus, so students who had additional needs. I definitely learned a lot by being in that position. And then I made the transition to working in an itinerant setting in the local public district. And that was a really cool experience as well. I really enjoyed being able to come and go as I please, to say, like I'd go from building to building, but I also had the opportunity to work with kids who were very, very young, elementary age, all the way up to high schoolers, and meet so many people along the way. So all of it was a really great experience. I do have two young boys, so I was struggling trying to keep up with my full-time job and raising the boys. And so that was why I made the decision to try telepractice. And it's just, it's been really life-changing for me in a positive way.
So talk about that transition from in-person services to focusing more on telepractice.
It was hard because I think when you're used to something, you have the mindset that it's comfortable, it's safe. I went back and forth so many times, like, is this the right decision to leave a comfortable, safe, good job? And, you know, there were so many nice people. I loved my students. You know, I didn't want to feel like I was abandoning them. But when it came down to it, I felt like I was not giving my kids 100%, and that needed to be where I was. So once I was ready, I talked to a recruiter who was, you know, kind of explaining that they needed teachers of the deaf. I could have a lot of flexibility. And that's kind of how it got started. And I really loved it. I loved the flexibility that I could just come downstairs for an IEP meeting if I needed to, or, you know, schedule all of my meetings on 1 or 2 days a week, and the rest of the week I get to be with my boys. So that's been really great. And I think I have seen a change in myself, like in terms of mental health. I don't feel like I'm always constantly like anxious and frantic because I'm just trying to get from place to place to place, you know, get up, get everybody out the door and come home and then worry about work and worry about everything else. So it has been a really positive change for our family, I think.
So it's really helped achieve that, you know, work-life balance a bit better.
Absolutely. Definitely.
And let's talk about some of the children you're working with. What are the ages you're doing through telepractice?
Right now I have big range. So I have as young as 3 and as old as seniors, which is, it's cool. It's exciting. And it definitely keeps things interesting because every student we know, like every student has unique needs, but I feel like I'm always challenging myself to find what works best for every student, especially in our telepractice setting. And it's so much different session to session with the younger ones than it is with the high schoolers. And I really enjoy it.
Never boring, never dull.
It's never dull. And it's actually interesting because like I try to schedule all of my sessions on a couple of days, like I said earlier. So sometimes I might be going from like a 3-year-old to a 17-year-old, and you have to like quickly change your mindset. You're not singing Wheels on the Bus and then, or you are singing Wheels on the Bus and then you're jumping to the, you know, talking about ADA and things that are relevant to them.
Right. I have been there. I've been there where you almost feel like you have to change your personality in between each client to adjust to what they need. Yep.
It's true. And some kids respond to things differently. You know, we have to be excited when you're with the little kids and like keep them motivated. And, you know, you don't have to talk like that to high schoolers. They're like, okay, like you could turn that off.
Although every once in a while I pull out a game that's for my little kids and the high schoolers get really into it.
They love it. They're still children at heart. And I feel like sometimes if you're in a one-on-one setting, like they feel safe enough that it's okay to let the walls down and
yeah,
be kids and have fun with you, right?
Yeah. So how is the service delivery different and better? I know that you're serving a lot of kids probably in like a lot of different areas spread out in schools. How does that feel compared to when you were the itinerant teacher and going different schools, different buildings physically?
I feel like the quality of service is better. I hate to say that because like I always felt like I strive to do the best that I could, but now that I am like in one place, I can just stay in one place and not have to worry about driving from building to building to building, which takes up a lot of your time. And I could plan quality lessons and just really be present where I am instead of thinking about like the next place I need to go or trying to find a place to even work in the school, because you know that tends to happen with related services. You don't always have a home. And so I do feel like the quality of service is a lot better.
So with your 3-year-olds, are you doing just with the 3-year-olds on camera or parent coaching or parents involved with some of those?
We do both. Do have some kiddos who are like in a preschool setting, and what has worked best for us is that we have another adult in the room. So what we do is build in minutes with the speech therapist and we do a joint session, which is great because then they're getting services from both of us. We're feeding off of each other. And then that is brought back to the classroom since the speech therapist is usually in the building. And that's been a really exciting experience too, being able to see how different people work. Because when you're an itinerant, you usually work alone.
Right.
But then to answer your question, we do parent coaching as well. And that's really great too, because I think parents do need to see language models and how we interact with our students, because they're still learning too. Especially, you know, parents whose kiddos are experiencing like a newly diagnosed hearing loss. We're not just their teacher. Like, we are also there to be their support and help them to navigate that.
And so, Jen, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. How can we get more teachers of the deaf to embrace telepractice? Does it start with the training programs, or what do you think?
I think it should start with the training programs. To be completely honest with you, before I started, I was kind of in the dark about it. I didn't understand it until I was actually thrown into it. And like, I was like, oh, okay, so this is how it works. And when I talk to people like and explain what I do, they're like, what? How do you do that? Like, so I think it is kind of about informing people a little bit more about it. Right. You know, when I was in school, the way that the program was set up was that like you worked with kids who are oral and spoken language focused, or you worked with kids who did ASL. Right. And, you know, going into an actual job, you see that that's not always how it goes.
Nope.
right.
And it's like, you learn a lot of amazing things at school, but then the reality hits that, oh, this kiddo knows ASL and has hearing aids. Like it is different. So I do think it's important to teach younger teachers about all of the options that are available. And I think that would help because, you know, it seems like the people who do need telepractice, like their kids really need it, you know, whether they've been without a teacher for a while or they haven't had any teachers who are applying. When it comes down to it, we don't want our kids falling through the cracks.
Yeah. And I know that when Todd was in Utah way back when, starting our program for kids with hearing loss there were people coming from surrounding states from the other end of the same state and having to physically move there to participate in this program. And because it is such a low incidence disorder, that it is something that we need to have a way to spread ourselves farther so we can get those kids that might be the only one in their district or the only one in their, you know, county that has that disability. So I think telepractice fits so well with that.
Absolutely. And it's when you say that, it's wild to think about, because it's families and people who are uprooting their whole lives.
Right.
And if we can minimize that, like, that would be so wonderful.
Yeah. So do you think there's any like myths or preconceived notions out there specifically for being a teacher of the deaf and being able to do it on telepractice, ones that you've had or that you've heard from other people that you've kind of found not to be true?
I think that's a really good question. I think that COVID really shaped a lot of mindsets, and unfortunately, like, it came on so suddenly that no one knew what they were doing. And I think people had a lot of bad, they had a lot of bad experiences, but that is not what telepractice has to be. I think a lot of times people say, like, if your students have hearing loss, how do they even hear you? but I don't think that they realize that, like, a lot of students, at least that I work with, have amplification that they use, and they're in a public school setting. It's not, I think that there's lots of layers to it.
Right.
If you're not in deaf education or if you're not in special education, you might not realize that every single student who has hearing loss is not at a deaf school.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that they do attend public schools with their peers. So I really hope to like lessen those misconceptions. Because I think that our students, like the students that I'm working with, I do see progress and I do see positive relationships, and, you know, their teachers are incredibly receptive to it. There are situations that can be a little bit difficult when it comes to, like, let's say, like dispersing equipment. It ends up, you know, we have to think of creative solutions. But that has been the beauty of telepractice, is that it makes you kind of think on your feet, and you know what, if somebody has to help out with something, it's okay. I've learned that I don't always like asking for help, but most people are willing to help.
Sure.
And if you present a solution, it's a lot easier than asking for solutions too. I think people are more receptive to that.
I was just teaching my middle schoolers about that in self-advocacy today.
Yes, so, it's true, though. It's so true. It's a great lesson to teach middle schoolers, too.
It's
a tough crowd. I give you a lot of credit.
They're a tough crowd. I was thinking, too, is there things that you have found especially hard, like, through telepractice? Like, I was thinking when you talked about equipment disbursement, but also equipment checks. Is that something that you've had to do differently when you switched to telepractice?
It is a little bit different. And when it comes down to it, there are people on the ground that I work with who disperse equipment. But a lot of districts also have educational audiologists, which is great. A lot of them don't as well, which is another issue. But if an educational audiologist is involved, I try to work very closely with them so that they could be like right there. If I'll say, like, you know, Johnny said that his hearing aid is broken, and can you just run over and go check it out? And they usually just go right to handle that. And that really is their more of their job anyway. And so it has been challenging, but I also teach my teachers that I work with how to do like the Ling sound check so that they know what to look for, and they can do that every morning. And the reality is that in my other job, when I was in person, I couldn't be there every morning to do it because I worked in so many buildings. So you do rely a little bit on some of the staff members there, the teachers, and most of them are very receptive. They want their students to learn and they want to help them. And it's just a matter of teaching him, because I don't think everybody knows that that's something you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. Well, Jen, what are some of your sort of go-to materials that you use, like at different levels, or some of your favorite resources that are out there?
Something that I kind of started using this year is a program online. It's a website called The Online Itinerant, and it's run by a teacher of the deaf and hard of hearing. And it's just been, it's a game changer. It's wonderful because she has resources on there that we can pull up right online. And I could just say, they're all categorized like, oh, let's talk about self-advocacy. Here's this activity. There's trainings that are relevant for teachers of the deaf. There's also tools and assessments that you could just pull up, like if you wanted to do a self-advocacy checklist or things along the lines before an IEP or an evaluation. They have all of that available. And I think it's just a wonderful resource.
Is that like a subscription service?
It is, but it's worth every penny. It is. And then I like to use, I try to use like a bunch of different materials, especially for the younger kiddos. Like I love using boom cards. They love the boom cards. I know most people are familiar with those. And even just like videos, like a lot of kids love singing and songs, and that we know that that promotes a lot of language growth, and they love it. So I'll use super simple songs.
Oh, I love those.
I think they're the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I did learn too, that if you go like to their website, rather than just looking up them up on YouTube, you can look them up like by category and by like, they have a lot of different categories, and then it has the words right there for you too, to like, that I can send parents and things like that. So that was something I learned, but I love that.
it's really like a great resource. Sometimes they're like earworms and you're like, okay, I shouldn't have listened to that. Stuck in your head.
Stuck in my head forever.
But then you know it's stuck in your student's head and they're getting that vocabulary about the fire truck or whatever it is. Yeah.
What about some of the older kiddos? What do you like to, like more of the self-advocacy kinds of things and that kind of material?
Yes. So I use a lot of materials from The Online Itinerant with my older kids. And also I find a lot on Teacher Pay Teacher, because there are several teacher authors that are teachers of the deaf or who work with students who are deaf and hard of hearing. And I love those materials the best because you know that they're coming from people who are actually in the field and making them for their students.
Right. Yeah, I use a lot of Teachers Pay Teachers. My grad students do as well.
That's great. Constantly,
they go in and try to download all the free stuff, see if that's enough. And then they'll, you know, if they have to, they'll spend a little money and buy something.
It is nice that they have the option to have free things on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I've found so many wonderful materials, like things. And the beauty is that you can use it online, or if you're an in-person teacher, you can print them and bring them with you. And or I even used to carry around my computer so that like the kids could click around. But they're just wonderful. We have so many creative people in our field and education in general. So,
yeah. And a lot of times, you know, I guess we're all stretched for both time and money, but there's times where it's worth saving your time and headache to pay the money to get a resource from someone else.
It's true. It is true. And then like when I was finding that if there were things that like, you know, if I thought really this student needs this, like I've learned to start making it myself, and it works out really well because then it's tailored exactly to what that student needs.
Yeah, I found that too. And a lot of times I'll do things like that just on a Google Doc, like for a lot of my middle school and high school students, I have a document where I just copied and pasted their accommodations from their IEP. And I put it in a little chart that's like, what's my accommodation? Why do I need it? How can I ask for it? And just making it that simple that it doesn't have to be, you know, this perfect thing that's all written up. It can just be, we pulled up a Google Doc. I share it with you after the session. And that's been some of my best, like, on the fly kind of activities with those older kids.
I love that idea, though. And then it kind of forces them to be interactive and mm-hmm. take ownership of it.
Yeah. Sometimes instead of screen sharing, I'll even just be like, you pull it up on your computer and you type everything in. So
yes.
Then I'm not like just, you know, being their scribe.
Sure. But they love that, though, too.
Yes, they do.
When they don't have to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Jen, I think it's time for the most important part of our time together.
Okay.
You look worried. you look fearful. It's called our moment of Zen. Okay. And we have in our moment of Zen, we have three different lists of questions. Each list has 10 questions. And we have list A, B, or C. And you can choose which list you'd like to have.
How about C?
B. Okay. List.
Is that a good one?
It's a great one.
Okay.
So you ready? So this is just to get to know you even better.
Sure.
And so just answer as you would like. Okay. Where did you grow up and how did that affect who you became?
I grew up in New Jersey, actually. Close in a town called Jackson. Most people know it because that's where Six Flags is.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I moved to Pennsylvania, like, my life definitely changed, especially just the pace, because I do feel like, you know, I grew up in a very fast paced, like, busy area. Now I still live in like a suburban area, but, it's just a little bit calmer. I don't live by the beach, unfortunately, because I love the beach. But I do have an appreciation for like the mountains and the things that I'm surrounded by right now.
Sure. So growing up in New Jersey, was your family a part of the mafia?
No, but we know.
No.
We know where you get good pizza. That's like something my husband and I joke about all the time. We're like, and no offense to people who are in PA, but New Jersey pizza is the best.
Okay. So we'll have to take you up on that and get some New Jersey pizza.
Got to try it at least once in your life.
So what's different with New Jersey pizza, like Chicago and New York pizza?
I mean, New York and New Jersey, I'd say are like pretty comparable, right? Hey, Chicago's deep dish, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you have like that very thick crust.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I mean, I prefer thin crust pizza.
Yeah.
New Jersey has a lot of thin crust and they also have a lot of Sicilian pizza. It's a little thicker, but not as thick as Chicago.
Gotcha.
It's just, I can't even describe it. It's just better.
Just better.
Yeah. Sounds... I hope I did my husband proud by that answer.
Sounds good. So the next question, Jen, is if money wasn't a factor, what would you do with your time?
That's a hard one. I don't know. Because I really do enjoy teaching so much. Even when I was like in person, like I loved interacting with the kids. I think I'd take some time off for a while and just figure out what I wanted to do. I'm not sure what that would be, honestly, though. Besides raising like my boys, just being with them.
Sure, sure. Well, it sounds like you chose the profession you want to do and want to be. So,
that's fine. I can't imagine doing anything else. Really, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a writer, but things change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Next question is, what was the last thing you searched for on Google?
Probably just something, because I work today. So probably just something related to work. I honestly think it was an article about how to find an interpreter. And I wanted to explain that step by step with a student. So right. I think that was exactly what it was.
That's perfect. I have a good one for that, because I have a student right now that is autistic, and he has like a different interest every week when I see him. And this week it was hurricane sirens, the physical siren, and he had specific kinds that he wanted me to look up and find pictures of, and could tell me why those ones were out of commission now. And it was so fascinating. I was like, how? And the week before it was the Titanic. So
that's a heavy topic.
It was a heavy topic. So it's really entertaining and is really motivating for him. It's one of the things that I love about telepractice, is it's so easy to just be like, okay, we'll pull up Kittle. That's my one tip. Use Kittle instead of Google.
Okay.
And search things on there.
That's a great tip. I actually that reminded me when you were talking about my son loves dinosaurs. So we'll sit when it's just him and I, and our my little one is sleeping, he wants to Google dinosaurs. Yeah. And this might be helpful for you with your students, but if you Google any kind of animal, there's a sound that you can click and it'll make that animal sound. So we listen to dinosaur roars and cows mooing and cool. But it's fun, and it makes it you get to see what the dinosaur looks like and then hear it. And it's cool to see the world through a kid's eyes and see what they want to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's a good tip.
I'm going to look up Kittle though. Thank you.
Next question is, what do people misunderstand most about you?
Oh, wow. I don't know. That's a tough one. I think that I do get a lot of people say that I'm too nice. And I don't know if that's a misunderstanding, though, really. But I don't want people to think that that's a sign of weakness.
Sure.
So
as a teacher of the deaf, do lots of people assume that you know sign language?
No, they think I know Braille.
Braille. Interesting.
I'm like, that's not the correct
fit.
you would be so surprised, how many people ask that.
That's funny.
They do ask, and I do know sign language too. So, or they want to know,
Cool. Let's see. How do you relax after a hard day?
Usually I like to just kind of watch TV with my husband, after a long, hard day. And I also like to do crafty stuff. I crochet. I like to macrame, and I feel like when my hands are busy, it kind of helps to take my mind off of things. And I like accomplishing, I feeling that sense of accomplishment. Where you can finish a small project and say, I did it. It's done.
Right.
Sometimes. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm the same way. I have to finish something. I have to do something that leads to an end with a product, whatever that is.
Right.
The dishes and the laundry that just are a never ending cycle.
I hear you. I also feel like in our field, we always have paperwork. We always have things that just don't end.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. It's nice to have an end in sight.
Right. Exactly. Next question is, what challenge in life shaped you the most?
Wow, that's a really good question too. Well, I think that I have always been I've always want to strive to do my best. And I think that led to a lot of anxiety. As an adult, I can look back and see that. But when you're a kid and when you're going through that, it's challenging. And I think for a long time, I let my anxiety rule who I was. And now that I've had the opportunity to reflect and step back, and I've seen that, like, you don't always have to worry about everything and that things do end up being okay. Like I said earlier, like about leaving, you know, what I thought was going to be a good job, like it felt like such a mountain to me. I couldn't see past it. I couldn't see like, hey, maybe it will be okay. And so I think that that has shaped me, and learning how to just figure out who I am.
Very good.
Thank you.
When are you the most productive?
At night.
At night. When the boys are asleep, right? And
it's amazing what you could do, right? I do, like, and then when I have, like, when I work during the day, like, I feel like I do a really good job of being productive. But sometimes when, like, when I need to actually do something that's very important and I have, like, that sense of peace, like, the boys are asleep, I don't have anything else that's lingering besides laundry, of course, I could just kind of relax and think. Clearly.
Yep. I got you. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's interesting.
What's your favorite comfort food? Besides New Jersey pizza.
I'd say I love like a really good chicken parmesan or chocolate chip cookies.
That's two extremes.
Yeah, we're one meal, they're like the best.
that's awesome. Yeah, that's good. What was the best concert or live performance you've ever attended?
Oh, that's a good one. I had the opportunity to see Kenny Chesney live, and it was so good. I mean, he just goes on for hours and hours, and like, you know, when you're out there having fun and you know all the songs, like it feels like it's the best thing in the world.
Right.
But I really did enjoy that.
My niece would sleep in her mom's Kenny Chesney concert shirt for years.
Oh. And they're like, you know, it's just like it's so much fun. Like you feel like. And he always has like the beach vibe going on. Yeah. So you just feel like you're not where you are.
Right. Exactly. Well, Jen, the last question is, if heaven exists, what do you want to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
That's a big question. I think I just want to know that I did right by people and that I did right by the people that I love, and you know, that he was happy with how I lived my life.
I'm sure he will be.
Thanks. That's a really good question.
So how can people reach out to you, Jen, if they want to ask you questions or maybe learn more about being a teacher of the deaf who does telepractice?
You can email me. I can give you my email address if that's okay.
Sure.
Do you want me to give that to you now?
Sure. If you feel comfortable. Yeah.
Sure. It's Jennifer Latshaw and then the number 16 at gmail.com.
Perfect. Great. Well, Jen, good luck with everything. And we look forward to seeing what you end up doing. As I mentioned, you will be doing some work with us here at 3C, and people can come back to our website and see some of the materials that you end up developing.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate Jen joining us on this episode. And as a teacher of the deaf, I just admire what she's doing and providing telepractice services to children and families with hearing loss, of course, children with hearing loss and their families. And so I really appreciate that, and something that obviously I do and I've been doing for a number of years. So keep up the great work, Jen. And I'm going to ask you, listeners, to do me a favor. If you have something you'd like to sell, some webinars, some courses that you'd like to develop and make a little extra money, I want you to reach out to me, Todd, T-O-D-D, at 3cdigitalmedianetwork.com. We're looking for more, always looking really for more content creators, and we want very talented individuals to join us and to put their materials on our platform. We want to help market and distribute your knowledge and skills and expertise. So if you want to work with us, please reach out. Again, Todd at 3cdigitalmedianetwork.com. And with that, until next time, be safe and be kind. This has been a production of the 3C Digital Media Network.